border to border, across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, this is Big Blue Insider. Talk to Dick Gabriel. Call 859-280-CATS. That's 859-280-2287. Or statewide at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Or you can tweet the show at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Hello, everybody, from the iHeartMedia Megaplex. This is Dick Gabriel. This is the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. You've heard the comments of Mark Stoops and Tom Leach and Darren Hedrick and Jeremy Jarman and Curtis Birch. And now's your chance to be heard. 280-2287, 800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Tonight, as always, Aaron Gershon of the Cats Paws, Jeff Bacor from the UK Sports Network will break down what we saw Saturday and what lies ahead for the Wildcats. Billy Rutledge alongside, be a part of the statewide BBI.
The Livesey Group is a family-owned CPA firm conveniently located on Pasadena Drive near Nicholasville Road in Lexington. They can help with tax preparation for individuals, businesses, trusts and estates, small business accounting support, including full-service payroll, and outsourced bookkeeping services. All the Livesey Group services include free initial consultation and quotes. Bob and Bobby Livesey are native Lexingtonians. They are Big Blue fans and ready to serve you. The Livesey Group, your one-stop shop for accounting needs. Call 296-1913 or visit LivesseyGroup.com.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Heartland Parkway has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrocks is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call their Heartland Parkway location at 245-9504. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
Have you been dreaming of upgrading your home environment? Maybe a larger TV? A sound system so real you feel you're at the game? Music that plays throughout every room in your house, including the patio? Lighting you control with the touch of a button? This is Barney Miller, and our team of technology experts customizes technology solutions for Kentucky homeowners. Stop by our showroom downtown or visit BarneyMillers.com for more inspiration. At Barney Miller's, if you can dream it, we can design it.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boot Store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boot Store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boot Store.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den,
go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
Have you been dreaming of upgrading your home environment? Maybe a larger TV? A sound system so real you feel you're at the game? Music that plays throughout every room in your house, including the patio? Lighting you control with the touch of a button? This is Barney Miller, and our team of technology experts customizes technology solutions for Kentucky homeowners. Stop by our showroom downtown or visit BarneyMillers.com for more inspiration. At Barney Miller's, if you can dream it, we can design it.
Welcome back to the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, let us welcome in on our celebrity hotline. Aaron Gershon with us. Big night for Aaron. First of all, because he's on the Big Blue Insider with Billy and me. Secondly, his beloved New York Giants are playing the hated Dallas Cowboys. So, Aaron, it's double duty for you tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I'll be back with you boys in studio next week, but can't miss a play tonight. I was telling Billy on the phone before we started, you know, the Giants have been so bad for the last 5-6 years or so. This is the first game I have any pregame nerves in quite a bit, probably since outside of Daniel Jones's first NFL game, I don't think there's ever been butterflies as a fan. So,
wow.
So that's a good thing. I mean, when you're 2-0, expectations have to come, right?
Well, and the Packers, I'm always thinking Packers. The Cowboys are starting Cooper Rush, their backup, but 2-0 is a starter. Career.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about that. I'm worried about their defense.
Oh, yeah.
Micah Parsons is he's on his way to being the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah. Well, let us shift back over to the football, Wildcats. You took in the action for the Catspaws high above the playing surface at Kroger Field the other night. And, boy, it was a dud to begin with. Mark Stoops nailed it today in his press conference, talked about it again on his call-in show. Great crowd, great atmosphere. And then they kind of had to sit and watch for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, it was definitely the worst defensive possession since really the first game when Miami drove down the field and scored on their first drive. So it was a really, uncharacteristic, which I think is the word Stoops used today, start and, overall game for the defense. They definitely found a rhythm, and then, that turnover at the end of the second quarter gave Northern Illinois a short field, and they were able to punch it in there. And then obviously the last 8 minutes weren't pretty, but yeah, it was definitely an uncharacteristic start. But I think just as encouraging, and just like that first game, Kentucky's offense responded with a really good first drive and punched it in. So, not to echo Stoops, but there was a lot of good things. I think this was obviously you got to get the sack numbers down. And I think we saw Will Levis hold on to the ball a little long on two of those. And really one of them was looked like you can circle the offensive line. And that was one that Kenneth Horsey just got bull rushed on.
Yeah.
But I think it was the most encouraging game from the offense maybe all year. I mean, just the way they were able to break off those long plays. We haven't seen that in the passing game in forever, obviously. And those were two great plays by Berrion and Tavion, both made a pair of big plays. And, on a night that Dane Key kind of had a freshman moment where he dropped a pass that probably should have been caught in the end zone and withheld the two catches and 15 yards, those guys stepped up. And it was a great showing, I thought, from the offense outside of some protection issues.
Yeah, Will Levis told me after the game on the postgame show that the throw to Dane, he wasn't throwing any shade at him either, but he said that might have been my best throw of the night.
It was.
But
it really was.
It was pretty, there's no question. But to your point, they're going to do that. I mean, and you got to think Ole Miss is going to say, number six isn't going to beat us. So we might double him, we might bracket him, but that just opens things up for Berrion Brown, and obviously for Tavion Robinson.
Yeah, Tavion, he's been even better than I could have expected. I think probably that's the same with almost everybody. I mean, he's been a game changer, and you see the way he's able to break tackles and kind of anticipate where the defender's going to be, how the defender's going to try to bring him down. You can see that he's a veteran guy, and he's been huge for this offense, obviously. And I think he's pretty close to breaking off a punt return, too, every time he gets the ball. You kind of hold your breath and see if he can get it done. But, and then Berrion Brown, man, I mean, his speed is he might even be on a different level of speed. And if they can get him in the open field, that'd be huge. And I think Ole Miss has been – obviously, they've had a really, really good start defensively, which is uncharacteristic for them under Lane Kiffin. They're, this high-flying offense and playing these, 49-50 shootouts every game. But they have a pretty good defense this year. However, the one flaw of their defense has been some of the miscommunications in the secondary that popped up last week where Tulsa was able to have some explosives on them. So if you can get, Tavion and Berrion in space, you're definitely going to be able to hang around at the very least.
Aaron, help me understand. The coaching staff seems very encouraged by the offense's performance in their 31-23 win over Northern Illinois, but they also scored 31 points against Youngstown State. Why is this 31 points different than the Youngstown State's game?
I think, number one, they didn't put the ball on the ground four times. I mean, obviously they had the one fumble by Lavelle Wright. That can't happen. But there were four fumbles in that Youngstown game. Only one was a loss, but still, you put it on the ground, the more times than not, it's going to go to the other team. And then, obviously, Will threw two picks, and one of them was just on Will. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And, obviously Will should have had a pick in this one, but the defender dropped it, and on the next play, he responded as perfectly as he can, a 70-yard touchdown bomb. So I think those were the things. I think the pass protection, obviously five sacks, it doesn't look great, but you look at two of those, it's Will just dancing in the pocket, looking for something. It's you know, should he get rid of the ball quicker? Obviously, got to credit the NIU secondary for, you know, what they call a coverage sack. I thought two of them were. And then one of them, Kenneth, like I said, Kenneth Horsey just got bulldozed. So obviously they know better than me, but if they're encouraged by the pass protection improving, you know, I was saying this to somebody, some coaches, you know, they go up there on the podium and they just say stuff and you're like, oh yeah, whatever. And they're wrong. And they're just trying to talk. But man, with Mark Stoops, it feels like when he says something, I forget the example I had ready for you guys, but when he says something, he's usually pretty accurate. It usually pops up. So I trust his judgment until proven otherwise.
Aaron Gershon of the Caspaw is our guest here on the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Speaking of Mark Stoops' comments, what did you make of what he said about Chris Rodriguez? And he talked a lot about C-Rod, but I thought it was really interesting. Today, I don't know that he reiterated this on his radio show, but today in his noon news conference, he said, Chris does not have to be our savior. And I thought that was pretty telling, didn't you?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think that's probably, you know, the expectations for him are going to be extraordinarily high. I mean, he's one of the best running backs ever to play here. And he's coming back when Kentucky's already 4-0. And obviously their biggest flaw on offense has been their inability to run the ball. I mean, they rank 123rd in the country and second to last in the SEC. And the only team behind them in the SEC is Mississippi State, who is an air raid offense. So that's kind of expected. So I think he's just trying to temper expectations. One, you don't want to put too much pressure on Chris because, you know, his one flaw has been trying to do too much and he loses the ball. We saw him fumble, I think, two or three times with South Carolina last year, and that was the only reason that game was even close down in Columbia. So you want him to not feel the pressure of the world on his shoulders, and you also, don't want the fan base to put too much pressure on him. I mean, they should absolutely be ecstatic and excited. I think some of those runs, and Will said this after the game, that look like they're going to be 1 or 2 yard runs with Chris, 7, 8, 9 yard runs,
right,
with his ability to fall forward and break tackles. So inevitably this offense is going to become more balanced and it's going to be more productive, but you don't want to kill the kid with the, you know, tag of being the offensive savior, especially when this passing game is really, really good.
Aaron, is it not strange that Kentucky's weakness seems to be their offensive line currently and their strength, their receivers? I mean, I think if you looked back at the last 10 to 15 years, you could say the opposite was the case.
Yeah, it's definitely flip-flopped, and that's what kind of led to Mark Stoops' funny comment at the end of the game saying no one really appreciated, the run game and, you know, the big offensive line when they had it, and everyone just wanted to throw the ball all over the place. So, yeah, it's definitely a role reversal. I mean, this wide receivers core – definitely the best, and Stoops said it today, definitely the best he's had at Kentucky and probably the best I can think of since you had, you know, Burton, Stevie Johnson, and Dickie Lyons. I can't think of any other trio that's as good as the one they have now. So it's definitely weird. It's a lot of fun to cover this. I mean, when you see 70-yard plays, 69-yard plays, 40 yards, I mean, it's fun football. And, you know, it's a quick strike ability that can, at home, gets the crowd going and on the road can silence the crowd. And we saw that at Florida. I mean, man, you could hear a pin drop when Dane Key made that play in the end zone. So it's a lot of fun, but obviously the offensive line needs to improve. Hopefully it takes steps in doing so. I think they finally had a common offensive line. I think it was the same starting unit as the Florida game, and we'll see that again this week, assuming no injuries pop up during practice. So I think we'll get there slowly but surely, and again, the ability that Chris Rodriguez has to, one, fall forward, two, just run down the middle, and three, what Mark Stoops said on his radio show today, he's the best at, you know, this outside zone and knowing what holes to fill. And, man, if you watch that game, Lavelle Wright missed so many holes. So they need to – I think the offensive line probably is doing a better job than we can tell. But, yeah, it's definitely weird right now.
Yeah, and you know who else was supposed to be really, really good at running through this offensive alignment was Ramon Jefferson. You know, that's one of the reasons that they welcomed him so readily. And, of course, I'm not sure when we'll see him again. We're talking Aaron Gershon of the Catspaws. Let me ask you about defense because I think this has the makings, Aaron, despite the problems Kentucky's had offensively, but as you and Billy talked about the wideout game, this could be another shootout like last year's game, which was highly entertaining, went the wrong way for Kentucky fans. But can Kentucky's linebackers, who were so effective against Anthony Richardson. Stop that from happening. This Ole Miss run game, and those guys are going to be, you know, the point of attack for Kentucky.
Yeah, that's the big question, right? And I think I know it's probably an overrated storyline with Jaquez Jones going back and Kedron Smith, but especially Jaquez being the important guy here with the run game. He's going to have more juice. I mean, that's just inevitable. He's going to want to show out for against his former team. And I mean, look, he looks a lot faster this year. I've been kind of saying that since week one, and even in small bits in the preseason, we got to see him run a little bit at full speed of practice. And I think that he's obviously has a pretty good understanding of what Ole Miss does offensively, and that should help. Obviously, DeAndre Square's a vet. He'll be ready to go. The big question is, how will this defensive line kind of perform? I thought they got pushed around a little bit more than usual last week. I know JJ, you know, sometimes lines up at linebacker, sometimes he has a hand in the ground, but you could definitely feel his absence. I mean, you got to remember that Keaton Wade and Alex Safari are young players. You know, they're going to have their moments, and it's a lot of pressure, you know, on Jordan Wright, who's going to have to play almost every snap, and he did play almost every snap this week. So I feel pretty good about the interior backers, but this defensive line, this is a big test. And someone brought it up during the press conference today. Ole Miss is only allowed 2 sacks, and that means they're not going to give up a lot of tackles for loss. So you really got to hold them to 2-3 yards on some of those first and second down runs.
I know Kentucky's on the road this week at Ole Miss, but what have been your thoughts on the home environment so far for Kentucky?
I think they've been great. I mean, like Mark kind of said today, the wind was taken out of them a little bit on those first drives of both games. But anytime, even though they're night games, they're inevitably going to have a bigger crowd. But anytime you have almost a full house, and I think week one they might have actually had a full house when you're playing MAC teams, that's really impressive. And it shows you the confidence the fans have in this program and the excitement they have. And it should be, you know, win or lose next week at Ole Miss. I'm assuming South Carolina, 7:30 kick, possibly black jerseys, just given they haven't worn those yet. I'm expecting a pretty crazy atmosphere.
We'll take a break, come back, and talk more Kentucky football with Aaron Gershon of the Catspaws when we come back on the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider.
Hey, Big Blue Nation, Cash Danner here, and I want to tell you about my friends over at UK Federal Credit Union. I've been a longtime member of UKFCU ever since the first day I stepped on campus, and I think you should become a member as well. UKFCU offers all the products and services of traditional banks, such as checking accounts, auto loans, along with online and mobile banking options. But unlike those other places, UKFCU is a local Kentucky-owned credit union right here in your backyard. They bleed blue just like you and me. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better.
Federally insured by NCUA. Membership eligibility required. For full details, call 800-234. 8528.
First Watch, the daytime cafe, is serving up good mornings to Wildcat Country. Here at First Watch, we begin each morning at the crack of dawn, slicing fresh fruits and vegetables, baking muffins, and whipping up our French toast batter from scratch. We use only the finest ingredients for the freshest taste around. Whether you want breakfast for lunch or lunch for breakfast, at First Watch, everything is made to order and freshness is never compromised. First Watch is proud to be the official breakfast of UK Athletics. Go Cats!
This new Toyota Tundra is amazing. It's rugged and capable.
Designed, engineered, and built right here in the USA.
And Tundra is more powerful and more fuel efficient.
The iForce Max hybrid powertrain delivers 437 horsepower.
And with a multi-terrain select, no matter what the conditions are, it automatically adjusts the engine throttle and traction.
Well, the crawl control modulates the throttle and brakes.
When we say you can go anywhere and do anything,
Tundra really means it.
Yeah.
Toyota. Let's go places.
Liquor Barn has everything you need for this week's Wildcat action. Now, to stock up on all your game day supplies, all you have to do is head over to your nearest Liquor Barn store. If you don't want to do that, guess what? You can also place an order for pickup or delivery through the Liquor Barn app or the website. Folks, that's all you got to do. It's that easy to shop for your favorite spirits, wine, and beer, and you can do it all in one place with Liquor Barn. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Go Cats!
Keep playing. Keep working. Keep going. And keep moving with the exceptional orthopedic care at Baptist Health. With an experienced team and a full line of advanced services and procedures, it's no wonder most people choose Baptist to help them keep on keeping on. Visit BaptistHealth.com/ortho to find a Baptist Health provider.
DQ presents... picture this. Picture the burger of your dreams. It's on the new DQ Signature Stack Burgers menu. A lineup of 5 premium burgers, like the Flamethrower Signature Stack Burger and loaded A1 Signature Stack Burger. With 100% seasoned real beef patties, melty cheese, and a combo of top-notch toppings and sauces galore. This dream burger is calling your name. But it isn't a dream. You're ordering at the DQ drive-thru.
Hello?
The DQ Signature Stack Burgers lineup. Try it today. DQ. Happy tastes good.
It is a statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider from Pikeville to Paducah, talking to Aaron Gershon of the Cazpaws, as we do every week. Wildcats heading down to Oxford. You'll hear that game on most of these same stations. Aaron, have you been to a game at Oxford yet?
I have not, so I'm in the same boat as Mark Stoops. Never been to Oxford. Actually, since this is my first full-time year on the beat, I have never been to the state of Mississippi, so cross that one off the
list. Okay. Well, give yourself time to go check out the Grove, something that Mark Stoops will not do on game day, I would think. But Billy pulled down a comment from Lane Kiffin, if you have that handy. Apparently, Lane has challenged the faithful down there. They're expecting a stripe out. And apparently Lane was not happy with last week's crowd, Billy.
Yeah, he's been telling his players to rise above it. Quote, regardless of what you come out to before the game or at halftime, when you come back out and you run out of the tunnel and it looks like a high school game being played in a college stadium, you can't let that affect you.
Yeah, that's wow. that's definitely a call to action. I it's so funny, and obviously he works under Nick Saban, but I remember Nick Saban having a very, very similar comment about that. I forget who they just walloped. It was a non-conference game, but he took a big shot at the student section. So that's definitely interesting. I mean, look, that's part of the, they've played a really easy schedule. And I mean, Georgia Tech, I think, was an away game, but obviously they're awful right now. They're among the worst Power Five.
Fired their coach.
Yep, fired their coach, fired their AD, and then, they played Tulsa, they played Central Arkansas, and they played Troy. No offense to John Summerall, but, those aren't ticket-selling games. So, obviously, they're trying the strikeout thing. If it looks anywhere as good as Tennessee's was, you got to give Tennessee credit. That looks phenomenal, but I have a feeling it won't. I think that 11 a.m. game is tough, man. Yep. I don't care what anyone says. It's tough. I'm dreading it. So I can't imagine fans who are going to be, tailgating and drinking are excited either. So it'll be tough. And, I don't think I've ever heard of so many Kentucky fans talking about going to a road game like they are this weekend.
Well,
it's crazy how many I've heard.
It's a great town to visit, Oxford. If you call Central Casting and said, send me a college town, they'd send you Oxford, among several others, but they'd send you Oxford, Mississippi, with a town square and all that. But the Grove is a big draw, and, this is a key. Well, they're all key from here on. But
wow, this one's huge.
Yeah, this one really is huge because it's on the road. But look, every one of them's huge if you're trying to get to that mountaintop, no question. But Ole Miss, to your point, you're right. Kentucky, clearly the best team that Ole Miss will have played. No question about it. And you got to think that when they're – I always wonder, what do the guys in the Ole Miss defensive back room, when they're studying video – you talked about it earlier, Aaron, the Kentucky wideouts. When you look at Berrien Brown running away from people, when you look at Tavion Robinson, who isn't as fast as Brown, but they can't catch him, Dane Key making catches, and by the way, the kid from our home state in Mississippi, Jordan Anthony, he's only played a few plays so far. I mean, what are they thinking? You've got to wonder in that D-backs room, right?
Yeah, and DeKal Crowdis too, who's keeps piping up, so something's coming with him. They're definitely – it's hard not to be intimidated by that, and obviously Kentucky, if last week was a tough game for the tight ends. I think 3 drops from that group. But, man, if they can get going too, the playmaking ability on this team is off the charts. And then you obviously add the element of Rodriguez. So it's going to be interesting. It seemed like Northern Illinois really keyed in on, no pun intended, keyed in on Dane Key, kind of made that the guy they wanted to lock down. But, maybe make them go to Dane just because he doesn't have the speed of Berrien and Tavion, and kind of just focus your attention on Dane when you get down to the red zone. So it's kind of a pick your poison. And if Will Levis is on, anyone in that wide receivers room has a chance to make an impact, and same with the tight ends. And like I said, it just seems the one area of weakness for Ole Miss in the defensive side of the ball has been they have been susceptible to giving up those big plays through the air.
Aaron, what is it that you think makes Lane Kiffin so appealable or so appealing when it comes to administrations hiring him despite all his baggage and leaving Tennessee in the middle of the night and all the things that he's done? Why is it that he keeps getting hired and people seem to look at him as a darling?
Yeah, when you listen, and obviously I was down at SEC Media Day and listened to him for almost an hour or whatever that was, and just listened to some of his press conferences, and he still has that charm. He still cracks the jokes. He's still goofy, whatnot. But, man, he just seems to have matured a lot. Like, you don't get the dumb answers. You don't get – there was an interview, I forget who was with. It might have been Lebatard or McAfee, I don't know. And they tried asking him about Arch Manning. And in the past, there was actually an instance where he did talk about a recruit. You can't do that, obviously. And he said, I'm too mature for that now. And I don't know. He just seems more – he just seems to have matured a lot. I mean, maybe it's the Nick Saban factor. I don't know, but
I agree.
Obviously, yeah, I think that's probably a part of it.
Absolutely.
And he did a great job at my brother's school, FAU, and he's doing a great job there. So he's definitely just seemed a little different now.
I didn't know your brother was going to FAU.
Yeah, he's a freshman.
You're going to college in Boca Raton?
Oh, yeah, and my mom lives in Palm Beach Gardens. They're living life right now.
Billy, you know what that means, don't you?
What does that mean?
Road trip.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all can go.
We need to take this Monday show on the road, bro.
I already went down there twice.
That's fine. Man, you're going again.
Invite us next time.
More the merrier.
A couple minutes left with Aaron Gershon of the Cats. He'll be heading to Oxford when the Wildcats play down there. What do you think of the way the tight end room has evolved this season? Been a little up and down, hasn't it?
Yeah, like I was kind of saying that last question there, there were two drops I can think of off the top of my head in that game against Northern Illinois. They definitely haven't, I don't think, lived up to the hype that they were getting before the season, but that's not to say they've played badly. I mean, I think, honestly, the guy I've been the most impressed with in the pass-catching game has been Brendan Bates, who hasn't done much, really, throughout his college career catching the ball. But this year, I feel like almost every time outside of that drop last week, they've thrown it his way. He's been sure-handed, and he's made the plays. He made that one, obviously, touchdown grab week one, and then he had a really nice play on that fade that Will Levis threw against Youngstown. So I've liked what I've seen from him. I think Isaiah Cummings, that drop in the end zone, kind of has him down the trust tree right now. They're trying to get him going again, and I've liked what I've seen from Dingle when he's been there. But the one thing that's hard to judge, because I'm not a coach, is how they're blocking. And it sounds like Mark Stoops, he made that point last week saying they need to be better at the point of attack. Yeah. So maybe that's an area they need to show up there. But I'm definitely waiting to see that breakout game from a tight end still.
Talked to Bates on Media Day, and we talked about the fact that he is best known for blocking. And, they didn't throw a lot to the tight ends the last couple of years for whatever reason. But I did like, and I kept telling people, hey, after the blue-white game, remember the catch Bates made in traffic, difficult catch for a touchdown. And he told me about on his on media day. He said, I keep reminding him, coach, I've got these hands, so when they throw it to him, he's got to make sure to hang on to it. And, that early in the Florida game, Aaron, I think you'll remember, throwing to the tight ends worked like, the long handoff plays because they couldn't get much done tackle to tackle. I think we might see that against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think so, especially if they do a good job containing the run and they somehow are able to limit the explosive plays with the receivers. I definitely think you can see them getting more involved. I think there's there's a lot of, like you were saying, there's a lot of trickeration you could do with them, a lot of eye candy that you can do to get them the ball. And, if you get it to Dingle in space, that kid can run than most tight ends.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot to like from that room, and they need to get more out of it. They're probably, I bet, Rich would tell you he can be more creative doing so. But, yeah, you just want to see that breakout game because there was so much hype on this room. I mean, Rich said 4 to 5 of them could be NFL guys, and we haven't seen it yet. But I think part of it, too, is, one, Tavion, Berrion, and Dane have been so good, you want to get them the football.
Right.
And two, they're trying to figure out how to get that run game.
That's right. Aaron Gershon, watch for his coverage in the Cats' paws. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See you soon.
When we come back, Jeff Pecoro of the UK Network will join us right here on the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider.
When is the last time you took a good look at your house? Actually walked all the way around and looked at the exterior? Mold, dust, weather can drastically change the way your home looks and cause damage. Hydrosphere Services is the first and only call you need to make. Hydrosphere Services are the experts in pressure and power washing, plus they are certified, insured, and trained to give you the best-in-class cleaning services. If you are a home or a business owner, make the call now to Hydrosphere Services, 219-2200. That's 219-2200, or visit hydrosphereservices.com.
I had no idea buying a big screen meant everybody comes to my house for game night. And what do they bring? Chips. If it weren't for Boone's Butcher Shop, I'd be broke trying to feed them all. All right, let's see. Should I go for the pick five or get a meat bundle? Maybe one of Boone's freezer baskets. So many options. I'm going for the cookout special bundle. Now over to the deli for some cheese, grab some marinade. I love Boone's Butcher Shop. They've got it all.
Boone's Butcher Shop. Top quality meats for less. 100 Old Bloomfield Pike, Bardstown. Online at boonesbutchershop.com.
The same great food you're accustomed to can now arrive at your door. The Cellar Bar and Grill on Lansdowne Drive in the Signature Club is open for delivery and Uber Eats. Check out our full menu online at cellargrill.com. That's cellargrill with an E.com. You can also follow the Cellar on social media or call us at 317-8301. From the Cellar Bar and Grill to your door tonight, call 317-8301 now for the Cellar Bar and Grill delivery.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den,
go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Pageant Drive has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock's is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call our Pageant Drive location at 269-7621. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boot Store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boot Store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boot Store.
Welcome back to the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. And we are, as we say in the business, efforting Mr. Jeff Pecoro of the UK Sports Network. He'll be with us. He'll be alongside Tom Leach when the Wildcats teed up with the Ole Miss Rebels. Isn't it interesting that we have called every game huge? Well, they've played two conference games. And they're all, you know, every, but that's the thing, Billy, when you're taking aim at Georgia, I wonder if Georgia fans look at it that way. Like every conference game is huge, mm-hmm. right? You know, because they have the right to say, well, we don't have to worry about these other schools. But I'm sure they circle one or two games. I'm sure they circled Florida and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Did they circle Kentucky on their schedule?
Well, I think it's circled now if it wasn't at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And it already should have been after Kentucky kept it close last year. I know they covered, even though it was a late touchdown at the end. But, you know, I think that this has been, you know, a rise. It hasn't been just overnight with Kentucky. So I think they've seen it coming. But also, I think if I'm a Georgia fan, I don't really get up for the all-conference games, like the Missouris and the South Carolinas.
And you're talking about fans?
Yes.
I have been to many, many Kentucky and Georgia games, and only, I guess, last year it was just about full. I mean, that was a big game. Of course, Georgia was on the way to a national title.
Yep.
But many times there are empty sections at Georgia games, believe it or not, you know?
Yeah, and just like Ole Miss has seen, they've got some empty sections in their games lately, and that's why Lane Kiffin's calling it looking like a high school game. So, you know, there's always that, you know, I could stay at home and drink my beer out of the refrigerator, and it's not $9 if you can buy beer at your stadium.
Yeah.
And then I can watch it on a flat screen. I think that's part of it.
Sure.
But at the same time, when you're at these cathedrals, literally cathedrals of the South, I'm surprised when there's ever a seat missing when a conference game rolls around.
If and when we get Mr. Pecoro on the this is one of his pet peeves. And he'll say, I won't even prompt him. He'll say, what else do you have to do? You know, now, to your point, I don't have to fight traffic. I don't have to pay bloated prices for whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about parking. I've got my flat screen. To me, the experience is fun, and especially at Ole Miss, the Grove. I mean, you don't have to have a chandelier hanging from the tree or a candelabra or chafing dishes. You can have a good time. But here's the thing to remember if you're a Kentucky fan, and I'm not saying this is an excuse. I'm saying this is a challenge, I would think. Oxford's not a big place, all right?
Right?
Ole Miss is not a big school. Lexington, Kentucky is, if memory serves me, the second biggest city in the Southeastern Conference, second only to Nashville.
Yeah.
Some people like to count Atlanta. I do not, because it takes forever to get on game day from Atlanta into the stadium. It only takes an hour to drive there on a regular day, but to go on game day, forget it. So Oxford, in other words, Oxford is drawing from all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got fans who, and so does Kentucky, but probably not as many.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not an excuse. If you got a team like Ole Miss that over the last couple, 3 years has been pretty fun to watch, why not go?
Well, especially in the SEC where these tailgates look like parades, and you go down and despite, you know, sun, rain, or snow, they're there grilling and having a good time, and it's a party. And so a lot of times, at least it was for me in college, Dick, sometimes you didn't make it to the game. You stayed at the tailgate, or maybe the tailgate got the best of you.
So even at WKU that happens?
You know, the thing is, Western's a bit of a party school. For the people that have gone, they know it. And even when Jeff Braum was there and they were putting up 60 points a game, they still couldn't get people in the seats. I mean, it still was only pulling 18 to 20,000 people. And that's just the town little Bowling Green is. And that's why they're being excluded from all these conference talks and conference realignment, because they aren't a good TV market.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something about from the weekend. I know you were working, but the Tennessee-Florida game was pretty interesting.
Got to see a lot of that.
And it came down to the end. There was a point where Billy Napier was down 11, and he decided to go for two. And I cannot wrap my brain around why that would be the correct decision. Do you know why anybody would go for two in a situation when they were down 11?
Well, if you go for one, if you're down 10, right?
Right.
It's a two-possession game, two-score game.
Right.
If you go for two and make it,
mm-hmm. it's still,
no, I'm still doing that. Yeah.
Still a two-possession game. Going,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's 11 before that. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. No, I don't.
So I was scouring at any opinion that I could find that was defending Billy Napier in this instance. And one that came around on a Florida website was that he had decided that they weren't going to overtime. Their defense had been gashed and gauged too much that he could not allow
that. That was my next
that.
Line.
So I guess if you're going to get two possessions and score instead of tying, you would win the game.
Well,
but I just saw it as a opinion.
What's interesting about that, and they're right, and I say this because that's what Northern Illinois did. Remember, Northern Illinois went for two.
That's right.
That's why it wasn't 31-24. Mm-hmm. It was 31-23.
So it happened again in the Kentucky game.
It did. Now, because you think about that, let's say he makes it.
It's a 9-point game.
And now, no, let's say Northern Illinois makes it.
Oh, okay.
And so now it's 31-25, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
He scores a touchdown and an extra point.
Yep.
He steals the game.
Right.
Without going to overtime.
Right. I guess that's the rationale.
Gotta be.
But at the same time, now you're making it, I guess you've got to convert on one of those two-point conversions to tie the game.
That's right. Mm. You know, and essentially, I heard this, I heard it on the Packers-Bucks game, but I might have heard it on the Titans-Raiders game that went down to a two-point conversion. In the NFL, at least, they're 50-50.
Right.
Well, they make them 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, if you're trying to steal again, if you're Billy Napier and you can get out of Knoxville with a win by avoiding overtime, mm-hmm. don't you do that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Especially he's been struggling the whole game.
Right. I mean, yeah, if your defense is getting gauged like that, then maybe that would lead to an instance where you're not tied at the end of the game. But to at least just the observer right there, when the line is 10.5 to some people that have gambling purposes and they're...
Some people who are interested.
My God, just driving me crazy, Billy.
Yeah, and again, I thought Tennessee would shred Florida. You know, as you said, 10.5 was the spread. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this now because ESPN does. But I really thought it would be not a problem. I thought it would be a three-score advantage for Tennessee. And people are still wondering, how good was that Kentucky win over Florida in the Swamp? Because Florida just lost to Tennessee. Well, Florida was in that game. And what did Anthony Richardson do against Tennessee?
He was special. I mean, he was better than he was
exactly.
against the other game.
Exactly. So you go back and think about that win over Florida for Kentucky, in the Swamp, one of the best crowds in years. And what did Richardson do against Kentucky?
He got rattled after Jordan Wright intercepted a ball in his face.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like every other quarterback.
That's right.
You know, or less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think, and that brings me back to Kentucky Ole Miss. I am really, really curious about what Brad White dials up for Lane Kiffin. We were talking with Aaron about the fact, and you brought it up, his comeback, you know, as a coach. And he's matured. There's no question about that. We haven't seen a lot of goofy tweets and all that from him, which I kind of enjoyed, frankly. But, you know, yeah, you got to set the tone as a head coach. And he's taking things a bit more seriously. I think maybe getting whacked on the tarmac by USC, by Pat Hayden, the AD. You know, at least Herm
That'll
Edwards.
That'll humble you a little bit.
At least Herm Edwards was on the football field, you know, when his buddy, the AD, and who claims, I didn't fire him, he didn't quit, we came to an understanding. All right, whatever, you know.
So Scott Frost, and then you have, who is it, Herm Edwards, like you just said. And
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech has just been fired. Yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing because even in the Scott Frost thing where they could have waited a month and saved themselves $7 million, I don't know if it's public perception and pressure from the public to just start over and get rid of these coaches.
Well,
but
think about recruiting.
Yeah.
You know,
just start over.
You know, yeah.
Rip that Band-Aid off.
You know, and every day, every week is vital mm-hmm. for recruiting. But, again, if I'm the chancellor, if I'm in the board of trustees, I'm saying, where's the fiscal responsibility? I realize it's Nebraska football, and people always say, you know, well, the boosters will step up and pay, you know. I had an athletic administrator say to me once, that never happens. They say it, that never happens. But, you know, everything goes back to recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And now Kiffin, I think, has realized that, you know, being a goofball is fun. And I love the Twitter account. Have you seen his dog's Twitter account?
Yes,
is
I have
that
seen
not
that,
great?
Actually.
That's
it's,
great.
It's cute.
Yeah. But leave it at that, mm-hmm. you know. And plus... speaking of recruiting, Mark Stoops has benefited so well from the portal, but no one has benefited more, I think, than Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yeah, they've. I'm sure they've gotten a few starters through that portal, and I honestly don't
got
think
the
this
quarterback.
Is, that's right, and I don't think this is Lane Kiffin's last stop, honestly, Dick. Not because he's a habitual job jumper, but I definitely don't see Ole Miss the job at the end of the rainbow, especially if you don't have fans attending games like it's a high school
right.
game, Dick. So I think that Ole Miss fans better be careful and appreciate what they have, because before you know it, he could be out of there again.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Now that you've got the two super conferences that are going to come together, you've got the Big Ten plus 6 or 8 or whatever they're going to have, and the SEC, which is now shifting southwest as well with Texas and Oklahoma and Lord knows who else. You got to wonder who's going to pay, who's going to be the next school to pay Lane Kiffin, assuming, let's go with it and assume mm-hmm. that he keeps being successful. Let's say he gets to Atlanta. Mm. Oh, my God. Because I think, has Ole Miss gotten there? I don't think Ole Miss has gotten there. I'm pretty sure it's Kentucky, Vandy, and Ole Miss, but I could be wrong about that.
Never went with Eli?
I don't know. Damn, I did 15 of those, and I can't remember if Ole Miss got there. I don't think they did. Anyhow, we can check the Google machine during the break. But let's say somebody else wants him. You know, they'll beat whatever he's making at Ole Miss. But how many schools can do that? You know, and you wonder, he would, if the price were right, leave the SEC for the Big Ten plus whatever. You know, but who's going to pay him?
Right.
Because the brand of football that he plays is terribly entertaining. And he would, you know, what if Harbaugh goes back to the NFL? Would Michigan want him? Sure they would.
Yeah, they would. I feel like
unless
Auburn,
there's a Michigan man out
Auburn
there.
Would be a team that I think that's going to be in the market
Auburn
for a new
could
coach.
Pay him.
And
Auburn
would,
could pay him.
They would just be tired of losing to Alabama so many years in a row. That
but
they
would you, if you're Lane Kiffin, you go to Auburn?
I think it's a better job than Ole Miss.
Why?
I would say they, even despite having
money,
to play
money
Alabama,
aside, money
despite
aside.
Having to play Alabama every year.
So does Ole Miss.
I think that they're a bigger power in the world of college football in the landscape. I think they have bigger draw when it comes to national prime time, and also, you know, the ability to recruit the type of player. I mean, I think it's easy. It would be easier to recruit at Auburn than Ole Miss.
I wonder about that because if let's say the picture right now, you're probably right, but let's say things evolve with Kiffin to where Auburn would make a play for him. Mm-hmm. I would have to think it's because Ole Miss has become so successful under Kiffin, meaning playing perhaps for an SEC title, which mm-hmm. means a national title, that would make him desirable, right?
Sure.
Well, you go to Auburn every day, every week, 365, you're compared to Alabama. Every hour of every day.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Curry told me when he got to Alabama, you know, Auburn was breaking rules because they got caught. And he made it clear he was not going to do that at Alabama. And the boosters told him, look, here's how it works at Alabama, at Auburn. Their whole thing is, look, we can't compete, so we're going to cut corners. If we get caught, we get caught. I'm not saying it's happening now. It's probably not because they're not winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if Kiffin gets what he wants in terms of facilities, salaries for his staff, his salary, he's better off at Ole Miss than he is at Auburn. Now, you're right about the fan base. There's no, because I've been there more than once. And Auburn, buddy, they turn out. There ain't no question about
they
that.
Ain't no high school game
no,
crowds
no.
going to be there.
No. But, God, the way, you know, now maybe by the time he gets there, Saban's retired. Then everything's off the table at that point.
Well, you know, I think Lane wants to beat Saban. As Jimbo became the first former assistant to finally beat Saban, you know, I remember Western Kentucky played Alabama and Kiffin was getting ripped into by Saban. That was the video that went viral after that
game.
That
was against Western?
That was against Western, yeah, because Western kept it close for a half. And then at the second half.
I remember the video. I don't remember that it was Western Kentucky.
It was Western, yep.
Wow, good for you guys.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that he would want to beat Saban, yeah. And that could be a very fun rivalry. If we're just, you know, recklessly speculating, I feel like Deion Sanders is going to be a name that heats up in the coaching ranks when it comes to 3 or 4 years down the road, or maybe even sooner, just because of the attraction that, you know, players and recruits would have around him.
If you're Auburn, do you go after Mark Stoops?
Yes, but I wouldn't leave Kentucky if you're Stoops for Auburn, just because of what you've built.
Yeah.
Similar to what you're arguing with Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin.
That's what I was going to say.
But at the same time, you know, the bottom that Kentucky was at that Stoops took them out of, you know, the conversation of building a statue while you're still the coach of the team, I think that would, you know, it wouldn't jeopardize, but it would take a hard left turn if he were to go to a place like Auburn.
Yeah, I agree. And he's already proven, you mentioned recruiting. The portal has changed, has really altered.
Changed a lot.
It really has altered that perspective. But Stoops and Vince Merrill have shown what? You can not only recruit the high school kids, but now you got kids coming from football brand names, Penn State, Michigan State, LSU, to play at Kentucky. Excuse me? But Jacquez Jones recruited Keidron Smith, didn't he?
That's right, two Ole Miss guys.
Yeah, you know, and Liam Cohen recruited
Rich
Will Levis.
And Scangarello, right?
Well, Scangarello. Actually, Yenzer helped recruit Scangarello. But, yeah, those are the guys who are the best ambassadors right now.
Mm.
We'll take a break and shift from talking about Lane Kiffin back to Kentucky on the other side of the break. Here on the statewide edition of the BBI.
Here are five big reasons reasons to buy a Toyota Camry. It's built in the USA. Camry's got style and innovation. It's America's best-selling car. The electrified Camry Hybrid has a driving range over 600 miles. And the number one reason, the great fuel savings. At an EPA-estimated 52 mpg, Camry Hybrid could save you thousands in fuel costs over the next 5 years versus the average new vehicle. Get details of all offers and fuel savings at buyatoyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Liquor Barn has everything you need for this week's Wildcat action. Now, to stock up on all your game day supplies, all you have to do is head over to your nearest Liquor Barn store. If you don't want to do that, guess what? You can also place an order for pickup or delivery through the Liquor Barn app or the website. Folks, that's all you got to do. It's that easy to shop for your favorite spirits, wine, and beer, and you can do it all in one place with Liquor Barn. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Go Cats!
Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Purple, and Ashley mattresses. Not sale priced, clearance priced. P-Rats is cleaning out, clearing out, and closing out to make way for new merchandise. Now get up to 30% in extra savings on floor sample and closeout mattresses from the top brands. Get a free power base upgrade on all Sealy mattress sets, $5.99 and up. Queen mattresses start at only $1.99. Plus up to 6 years special financing.
Nobody beats P-Rats.
There are lots of ways to make Skyline part of your game plan. You can pregame with friends in five ways at your favorite Skyline, or carry out conies to crush during the game. And Skyline is the only place for post-game Cholitos and chili cheese fries. Football, basketball, baseball, or soccer, high school, college, or pro, doesn't matter. Game time is always a good time for Skyline. So get your game face on and get your Skyline game plan together. Feeling good, it's Skyline time.
At Athenian Grill, our delicious, authentic Greek food is inspired by real family recipes. Our generous portions of perfectly prepared lamb, chicken, and veggies are way too good to keep to yourself. Authentic Greek cuisine. Come check us out at our new South Ashland Avenue and East Main Street locations. Need catering? Give us a call or visit AthenianGrill.com. From our family to yours, let us share our authentic Greek home recipes with you.
As a leader in diagnostic radiology services, Lexington Diagnostic Center and Open MRI offers the best in imaging technology, X-ray, CT scans, and MRI. LDC delivers quality patient care by providing comfortable and convenient solutions. And to save patients on coinsurance and copays, the LDC price structure is significantly lower than hospital rates. Learn more by visiting LexingtonDiagnostic.com or call 859-278-7226. Knowledgeable patients and physicians choose Lexington Diagnostic Center and Open MRI.
Welcome back to the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. We have contacted Mr. Jeff McCorder, who actually, for a very good reason, missed our first segment with him. Champion, what's up?
Good. I am so sorry. I was over at Mr. Flynn's visitation.
Bobby Flynn.
Our good friend Tom. Yep, Tom Hammond was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And
a lot of people.
Bobby and Brad. And, yeah, I was over there earlier today. Of course, you had duties at the TV station. But Bobby was just,
so
man, it's amazing the cross-section of people that Bobby Flynn interacted with.
Yeah, Jim Rocco, the president of Valvoline.
President of Valvoline, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bobby, you may have seen in the obit, and I know you've known Doug forever like I have. Bobby was the first Caucasian, if you will, to play for an African American team here in Lexington. That he was a legendary athlete.
And it was the same year that Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. Yeah. That's what's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
How about that? It's crazy.
Doug tells me, has told me many times that Bobby was a better athlete than Doug. Doug just played in major leagues for 11 years. Yeah. And, you know, Bobby, by the way, played pro ball, played down in Southeast Kentucky for a minor league team. I want to say maybe the Dodgers chain back when they had C ball, D ball. The Hustlers were here in Lexington. The Hustlers were here in Lexington.
That was here. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, he gave up pro ball because he had a family or had a wife and, you know, there wasn't any money. So, you know. Just a few minutes with Jeff here. as we said, he was at the Visitation. I forgot you were going to that, quite frankly. But tell me about Billy. Billy and I were talking about the fact that Ole Miss really hasn't played anybody too challenging. But what's the challenge for Kentucky now?
I really think the challenge for Kentucky is the weapons that Ole Miss has. They always have a stable of receivers. And they're going to try to make Kentucky one-dimensional on the other side. But what Kiffin does is he'll just try to outscore you. That's been his MO. You look at their games against good teams, and it's usually, 52 to 45 or, 42 to 38, something like that. So I expect a high-scoring game.
42-41 last year with Kentucky. So you think we see that again?
Yes.
Well, I'll put it to you then.
I think it'll be.
Go ahead.
I think it'll be close to that.
Well, tell me then about the Kentucky linebackers and what they're going to – can they keep that from happening?
Yeah, they can. They can. They've got to play – excuse me. They've got to play clean games. We heard today that J.J. Weaver is doubtful.
Yeah.
That's not going to help. But, again, they're deep, and it's going to be their stiffest test. Better offense than Florida, so in that scenario, I think it will. But they play three safeties on defense, so they basically play five defensive backs. But they're different in the fact that they play three safeties instead of three corners. So but again, I think Chris being back will help the offense and the offensive line.
So one of those safeties will crash versus the running game every time, or what?
Yes, and the key to that is you hope that more than one of them crash, because Kentucky's offense is very good at play action and the tight ends. So what happens is one of those safeties will have the tight end, but if the tight end fires out to block first, then he comes up, then he can run by it. Because remember, you've got great speed at tight end. Bates is one of the faster guys on the team. Cummings can run. Upshaw can run. So they've got good speed at tight end as well.
Got about 30 seconds left, so Stoops is right when he says Chris isn't going to be the savior, but he's got to be important though, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, he's very much so, because he's a big physical bruising back that they don't have.
That's right.
And that can really wear down a defense, just the continual pounding that he, just
right.
him hitting the hole time right. after time after time.
All right.
That is the big key.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon. That's going to do it for
Sorry
the statewide edition.
Bye-bye.
You're good. Statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Thanks to Aaron Gershon and Billy Rutledge. That's it. Good night from Lexington.
You've been listening to Big Blue Insider, presented by the Cat's Paws. Big Blue Insider was brought to you by Kentucky Utilities, UK Healthcare, Prairie Farms, Barney Miller's, Mingy Beef Jerky, Boone's Butcher Shop, Northside RV, and by John's Run Walk Shop.